This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, sitting in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, did you watch the premiere of season 5 of Game of Thrones last night? Did you ever get to the point where you feel like Hillary Clinton's second presidential run is season 5 of her long, epic, enemy-filled battle for power? I'm kidding, of course, but it was hard yesterday to escape the irony that those two things, Game of Thrones and Hillary Clinton, are being reintroduced on the very same day. But it is a day we all knew was coming. Hillary Clinton announced her candidacy for the White House, the first Democratic candidate to do so.
I'm getting ready to do something, too. I'm running for president. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. So you can do more than just get by. You can get ahead and stay ahead.
Well, Hillary Clinton's many titles tell a big part of her story. Attorney for the Watergate hearings, First Lady of Arkansas, First Lady of the United States, Senator from New York, and of course, Secretary of State. When she first arrived on the Arkansas political scene way back in 1974, she annoyed a lot of people, men and women alike. On the heels of the women's movement, she kept her maiden name at first. Many in Arkansas questioned the Clintons' marriage, and Hillary took her husband's name only in 1980. And as the state's first lady, she focused on children's rights and education.
The road to being somebody in this society starts with education. And we intend to be sure that everybody in this room and every child in this state is somebody. Because we're going to give them every chance we can to develop their minds so that they can play a role in this state and this country to make it the kind of place it needs to be.
It was way back in 1983, and you can hear a tiny Arkansas lilt there in the First Lady's voice. It's gone today. Hillary supported her husband's career through two terms in the White House, and then he supported her in turn when she ran for the United States Senate against Rick Lazio in 2000. And here are the two candidates in a debate over a campaign finance agreement.
I admire that. That was a wonderful performance. And
well, why don't you sign it?
And you did it very well.
I'm not asking you to admire it. I'm asking you to sign it.
Well, I would be happy to. When you give me the signed letters.
Right here.
Would you give me?
Right here. Sign it right now.
Well, we'll shake on this.
No, I want your signature because I think that everybody wants to see you signing something that you said you were for.
Now, today we want to focus on some of the maybe forgotten years of Hillary's career. You know, there are a lot of voters out there who don't remember 1974, don't remember Hillary as First Lady of Arkansas, and maybe don't even remember Whitewater or parts of the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Well, joining us is Max Brantley, senior editor of the Arkansas Times. He's known the Clintons both as a reporter and a family friend for a long time. Hi, Max.
Hello.
And also with us, Beth Harpaz, author of The Girls in the Van, covering Hillary. She's now travel editor for the Associated Press. Hi, Beth. And I'm glad you're both here because there are so many touch points of Hillary's career from 1974 to today to try to put together a mosaic of this remarkable person who's running for president. So, Max Brantley, I'm going to start with you, and I want to play an old clip back from your territory in Arkansas. This one is famous, and I wonder how many people remember this version of Hillary Clinton's career.
I suppose I could have stayed home and baked cookies and had tea, but what I decided to do was to fulfill my profession, which I entered before my husband was in public life.
One of the most famous early quotes from Hillary Clinton, Max Brantley, starting on a feminist-fueled career, a time even then when she made a lot of people mad.
Oh, I think she came to Arkansas as something of an outsider, a bit of a Chicago accent, educated at an elite school, kept her own name, and that rubbed a very traditional state a little bit wrong, but I think she soon turned it around. Among many people, she was probably more popular than Bill was. He was a polarizing figure. He always won, well, with one notable exception, but he made enemies. She had a highly positive image from her work on education reform.
Max Brantley, there are so many points along the career that we can touch on, and since you're a Clinton family friend and you've spent a lot of time with them over the years, I'm interested in which parts of Hillary's experience you think are the very most formative for the person who wants to be elected president today. You have those battles of 1974. You had the distrust of Arkansas people who thought she was a carpetbagger even at the time. A similar attitude when she ran for the Senate in 2000 in New York when people accused her of being entitled and she had to do a lot of work to get elected talking to regular people. And now you see the echoes of that today in her announcement. Give us a window into what you see as the as sort of the formation of the Hillary Clinton that we're being asked to support today.
I think the most remarkable thing about both Clintons to a degree, and certainly her after the Whitewater experience, is the willingness to go back on the stage and endure what you have to endure in a presidential campaign when you consider how she's been under nearly constant attack for 25 years. Unless you were here on the ground during the Whitewater investigation, I don't think you can understand how intense it was and what an all-out assault it was on just about everybody who ever knew the Clintons in the effort by Kenneth Starr to find something to pin on. And I think a lot of people wouldn't want to come back after all that.
Well, Beth Harpaz, those things really are central points of Hillary's career. Controversy, enemies, secrecy, and a perseverance to keep facing your enemies. You can mention Whitewater, as Max Brantley did. You can mention Hillary's early time as First Lady in Arkansas. You can flash forward all the way to emails in the aftermath of her term as Secretary of State. You can look at accusations of secrecy during Hillary care when she was trying to reform the healthcare system as First Lady in the White House. Epic battles every single time. Accusations of secrecy may be well-founded, and a willingness to face those accusations and keep fighting.
I think the one maybe a bigger theme that you're missing, and one of the reasons I wrote the book, The Girls in the Van, is that I felt like we were so involved in the horse race and Monica Lewinsky and all of those internecine battles and, you know, complaints that voters rightly have about the Clintons and their secrecy. Is this enormous theme of the sense of destiny and the quest for a woman to make it to the highest office in the United States. I don't think that we can underplay that. It was a huge theme in the Senate campaign. She broke the mold as First Lady. She was the only First Lady to ever run and win elective office in New York State, which we think of as a fairly progressive place. So I don't think you can discount that, because I think that sense of quest began at that time. She was a First Lady unlike any other First Lady we've ever had, except maybe Eleanor Roosevelt. I mean, look, Laura Bush, literacy, nice, safe issue for First Ladies. Michelle Obama, and I mean no disrespect, but she is known as a fashion icon. She's known for her sense of fun, the mom dances, and for taking on, you know, what are relatively safe issues, fitness, nutrition. Okay, now let's look at Hillary as First Lady. She goes to China and she lectures the government on infanticide, you know, the health care debacle. Nobody elected Hillary to fix that problem. But the fact is that she tackled something that was a very complicated and important issue and became an expert on it, and something that's still really important. So, you know, her failure to win the nomination last time around, in some sense, I think it almost increased that sense of, we're just waiting for this to happen. And when I say we, I mean a lot of female voters in particular, you know, who felt like it's time. You know, women got the vote in 1920 and we still haven't gotten to the White House. And don't forget, when she ran in 2007, 2008, there were all kinds of questions that we didn't know the answer to. You know, could a woman raise the kind of money that you need to launch a presidential campaign? We didn't know that till Hillary did it. And now we know the answer is yes. So I feel like the women's issue or the women's theme of this campaign is enormously important. Whether we talk about it all the time or not, it's there. And it started long ago. It started with that, you know, I wasn't going to stay home and bake cookies. That's who she is, like it or not.
Max Brantley, do you see that same drive? You know, a lot of people are hardcore supporters of Hillary Clinton, and that's great. Those that aren't tend to have a very negative view of the way they feel she operates, and you've seen them operate in Arkansas. What's your take on that?
Oh, I think some of it's a double standard. I think things are applied to her that are not applied to men. It's famous and it's cliched, but a strong woman is a bitch and a strong man is a strong man. Hillary's record as a feminist goes back to her day as Wellesley College, and I don't think you can underestimate the formative value that those years spent at that famous college lent to her. She was made famous from her famous valedictory speech in which she took on a sitting U.S. senator. It's, you know, we've made a lot of progress in the U.S., but not nearly enough. When she came to Little Rock, she was the first woman to be hired as an associate, not a partner, of a mainline law firm in Little Rock. That's how far behind we were. And so I think she's been surmounting these obstacles for now going on 45 years.
But let's bring it to today, Max Brantley, and you might be a good person to answer this question, because even people who followed Hillary Clinton's career for many, many years understand she has enemies, understand she's under scrutiny, understand maybe there's a double standard. But that still doesn't explain to them perhaps what was going through her mind as Secretary of State when she decided to have private emails and then to be the arbiter of those emails, deciding which of those emails the public would see when it's time to disclose her activities as Secretary of State. You know the Clinton personality and maybe the way she thinks.
I think that the theme of a resistance to full disclosure of internal communications has been persistent throughout her career. I was at a dinner party this weekend where we talked about just this question, is how could you possibly think this wouldn't turn out to be a negative? And that's a troubling factor, I think, that has also accompanied her time in public life.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Clintons, both of them really, have been dogged by this attitude that they're perceived to have, that somehow the rules are different for them, and that there's a certain arrogance there in their sort of disregard for what they should be held accountable for. I think it's really interesting that in her video yesterday, you know, this theme of everyday Americans, New York Times this morning saying, you know, she's staying away from the term middle class voters because the middle class is so out of reach for so many voters it almost doesn't mean anything anymore, and they're using everyday Americans. But it also strikes me that part of her image problem is that, you know, she has sort of been a little bit aloof and above it all. And, you know, again, going back to that accountability and the secrecy and all that. So perhaps by articulating this theme of everyday Americans, she's saying, you know, I'm not above it all. I'm not aloof. I'm not the Queen of England. I'm just like you, or at least I'm in solidarity with you.
Max Brantley, can a rebranding or a listening campaign, as it were, a discussion campaign before a big kickoff next month for Hillary, help to remold this very durable image that she has with a lot of people? Look, we know Democrats are going to vote for Hillary. She needs independents, and a lot of independents still don't like her.
Well, it can't hurt. It helped her in Arkansas. When she took to the public to sell her husband's school reform package in 1983, that was a springboard to a great amount of success for her. I happen to think there's a side to Hillary that a lot of people haven't seen, which is she's a smart, funny, engaging person with a lot of good things to say. I think she's helped by more exposure to the real Hillary than hurt by it.
Beth Harpaz, have we ever seen the real Hillary?
Well, that was another thing that another reason that I wrote the book. You know, she came into the Senate campaign, you know, very much don't touch me. Certainly, I think there's a little bit of that image that remains, that she, you know, she's not just plain folks. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, the listening campaign was this famous thing she did in New York, where she went to every one of the, I think it's what, 63 counties, and met with, you know, quote unquote, average people, local people, going to towns that no important person had ever been to, like Penyan, New York. So it'll be interesting to see if she does that same kind of thing, you know, as she goes on this road toward the presidency, where she maybe will go to sort of whatever the local feelings are.
Max Brantley, senior editor of the Arkansas Times, a longtime family friend of the Clinton, and Beth Harpaz, author of The Girls in the Van, covering Hillary, who's a travel editor today for the Associated Press. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.